open a drive-thru HR. We're at HR Tech Conference right now. This is happening. We're doing our man on the street, and we've got some good things going on. Introduce our guests here in just a second. Want to say, first of all, it's Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR. I want to say thanks and a happy kind of quasi-farewell to Bill Kodik. Got us set up in a great room, taking care of us here so we can actually have a good hookup. And really appreciate that. A lot of years going into that. And so, again, really, really appreciate that. So we're in Vegas, Mandalay Bay. This place is rocking. The energy's crazy. I was on the show floor for a couple hours today. And it's going to be fantastic. So let's get to our guests. So, Chris, I'm just going to have you introduce yourself, and we'll jump into kind of what you're thinking of the show, what's keeping you up at night. We got a lot to talk about. So go ahead and introduce yourself to our guests.
Yeah, hi, Brian. I'm Chris Brablik. I'm the director of marketing for Smashfly Technologies. We have what we call a recruitment marketing platform that allows enables companies to meet and execute all of their strategic recruiting initiatives, all with one platform that has been organically built with a foundation of analytics. So with our platform, companies can see what's working and what's not across their entire recruitment strategy. So the big thing here is, we're on the expo hall. I've been able to go to a few sessions here and there, and I'm always on Twitter at Smashfly, interacting there and seeing what everybody's talking about. So, I think the big thing in general with this conference is you have some of the biggest thought leaders in the space here, and it's always fantastic to run in to folks, see what their thoughts are, see what the new messaging of all the different companies that are here, and see what the big themes that are happening in the industry.
So I know there was like 7,000 or 8,000 total attendance, and for everybody here, it's HR Technology Conference in Las Vegas this year. It is Mandalay Bay, great location, and it's tons and tons of. How many vendors total are in the expo hall?
It's the biggest in years. I think there's 300 plus. I look at the buyers of HR technology right now, and it is pretty overwhelming. Going into the hall, especially with all the booths and all the kind of new messaging, new events that are happening at all these organizations. It's definitely a little overwhelming, but there's so much great stuff that's happening. In the HR tech space, it's definitely interesting.
Well, and so kind of to jump into it, so for you, what's kind of keeping, and we'll make this a two-part question. First part is kind of what's keeping you up at night, or what's top of mind for you relative to HR? That's the first half of the question. The second half will be kind of what are you hearing from your clients that is keeping them up at night? So what about you?
Yeah, the big thing for me, especially, on the marketing side is, coming up with messaging that is easily consumable, to the HR technology buyer. I think the space, can be very confusing. As I said, there's a number of organizations that have very similar messaging. There's new trends and buzzwords that make it into all the product literature. So it's how do you really cut through that messaging evolving it and making sure that you're clear on what your real value is. And that's something that, we're always looking to improve and something that, is always top of mind and always, something that, I'm thinking about. And, to your second question, the big thing with our clients and what they're really looking to do is, you know, when you look at the space and how you can, you know, put your kind of recruitment marketing technology together, is, you know, they have all these strategic initiatives that are going and looking to achieve. You know, you have your candidate attraction, you have sourcing, engagement, candidate development, you have, you know, military diversity, campus recruiting, and all those initiatives. You have kind of new age stuff with mobile, social, SEO, international executives. So, you know, they have a number of different initiatives with a number of different members of their team focused on those initiatives. And so what clients that are using us and platforms like us is they're really looking to unify all those initiatives under one strategy and have analytics that bridge all those strategies so that they can really understand what's working and what's not, as well as having the comprehensive tools, so the CRM, the job distributions, the career site, the SEO, mobile solutions, and that tool set to be able to execute on all those initiatives. So platforms like us bring that whole strategy together and ultimately give them the actionable insight to make smarter decisions on what they should be doing and which they should be investing in, as well as what their recruiting team should be investing their time in.
Well, I'm going to play a little contrarian here with you. So single platform. So what about the fact that you hear, you know, a lot of maybe research supports it, maybe it's anecdotal, I don't know, but one vendor can't do everything. Why are you guys potentially, and or of anybody that says that, how can you guys specifically, how can you be different? How can you make it really work? What ties it together? What's your secret sauce, kind of your differentiator there?
So I think when you think about all the solutions that exist in the space today, and you know, getting to your point, it's always best of breed versus kind of a platform type solutions. But you know, when you're looking at it, especially you know, having those analytics and the real insight into the entire strategy, you know, you can go about it a number of different ways to bring those technologies together. You know, you can go and kind of purchase, you know, a solution for mobile, a solution for CRM, a solution for job distribution. I think the real problem and the real reason why you don't want, you know, or client are choosing to go full platform is, you know, more so because, you know, once they all have their all analytics solutions, and when you try to put those analytics together and measure all those things side by side, you run into a lot of hiccups and a lot of problems, especially in terms of integration and in terms of the back end. So really you have limited insight into what's happening there. And so the big thing, too, to note is you know, when you do use a platform approach, a lot of times it's, you know, a phased approach. So you're not necessarily buying, you know, you're buying the platform and then using it all right off the bat, but you might actually take it where you're using the CRM to do a little bit more sourcing, then you're going to move into mobile and move into social, and, you know, go about it that way. But the big note is that when you do it that way, everything is based off of the same platform, the same code base that allows you to make those analytics and make sure that those analytics are comprehensive so that you can get that actionable insight.
So, and I love the fact you guys, I mean, you guys really are basing a lot of your differentiation around analytics. And so what's the market been calling for? Because when we hear big data, obviously, we hear metrics, we hear analytics and things. So what are some of the key things that, the you know, your market research and your clients and what you've seen that are the data value is being presented by what you guys do specifically? So what are some of the analytic, you know, the kind of the points of metric points?
Yeah, so, you know, I think you look at any recruiting organization, and so they've purchased ATS a long time ago. And so when they purchased ATS, you know, they used it for compliance reasons, they used it to capture all candidates, and they also, you know, a number of them purchased it because they thought, you know, it would help them in terms of the recruitment marketing aspect of the business. The problem is that, you know, it's very good from a talent management standpoint and, you know, making the recs and doing compliance. clients. But from a candidate attraction standpoint, from a sourcing standpoint, it leaves a lot to be desired. So when candidates come to us, you know, what they're really asking for is help to brand their jobs, attract talent, and ultimately attract better quality talent. You know, it's not a numbers game as much anymore, you know, where you post jobs and you know, you're getting a lot of customers, but it's really about getting quality and what sources are providing you the quality candidates you need. And so it's all, you know, what customers are really asking for is they want integration with their ATS, and they also want to be able to pull that data back to be able to make sure that that data is accurate, you know, which, you know, solutions like ours can provide, and ultimately tell them where are they getting their best candidates, not just, you know, where they're getting candidates in general. And so that's really kind of been the focus of what they're asking for, is they need the data to make sure that they're doing quality hires and all the initiatives and sources they're using are leading to that quality, as opposed to, you know, just filling enough and fulfilling.
So does that help kind of get ahead of the age-old argument around any kind of data play is garbage in, garbage out, right? I mean, it's, you make horrible, you might have great metrics in front of you, but if the data is garbage, then you're making bad decisions, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And so, you know, especially when you look at, you know, the ATS, you know, so some people still, or some organizations still, you know, rely on candidate self-selection as a data point to enter the ATS. So, you know, we eliminate that by using source codes and being able to pass that data and make sure that it's, you know, accurate in terms of sources as opposed to just what the candidate does. But, you know, in general, yeah, as you get to it too, is, you know, when you do silo all those solutions, so you buy silo solutions for different parts of the talent acquisition, the recruitment marketing space, you're also, you know, segmenting all those analytics. So when you kind of look at that actionable insight and really are trying to engage and not only, you know, see if they're working, but also communicating that they're working higher up. So when you're, you know, having those budget decisions and you're, you know, trying to get budget for new initiatives or proving concept of your overall recruiting strategy, you really need those analytics to be comprehensive and comprehensive across the entire strategy versus, you know, being able to pull analytics from, you know, five different systems that kind of tell you a little bit different things about where candidates are coming from.
So change it up a little bit here. What are one or two themes or concepts or even terms that you just do not want to hear anymore? I mean, that you are just worn out on them and you just need people to just stop saying them.
Yeah, so, a few things that I think are really, you know, in the space that is a little frustrating is kind of what I call like buzzword bingo. So, you know, it's, you know, mentioning social, it's mentioning mobile or and stuff like that. And you know, I think, you know, candidate experience, and I think a lot of those trends, you know, they're not solution category, you know, they're solution categories themselves, but you don't buy just one technology solution and you're set for mobile. You're buying solutions to do a full mobile strategy, you need to focus on a number of different things, whether that's, you know, your mobile career site or mobile apply, or you're, you know, utilizing mobile for events on, you know, talent network forms that flow into a CRM-type system. So a lot of those trends, you know, it's not, you know, oh, I bought a mobile or a social or a SEO solution and, you know, I am set for, you know, that's whatever that specific use case is. I think we need to think more comprehensively around that. The one other thing that, you know, I think that always comes up is, you know, the engagement piece. You know, you can, you know, utilize some automation to be able to engage right and engage the right messages to the right people. So, for instance, you know, candidates that come in that opt-in to your talent network or apply, you can, you know, set up trigger messages to send them back, say thank you for applying or thank you for joining our talent network, and then also providing, you know, a survey to gauge, you know, your candidate experience and kind of give you feedback on where you can improve your process. So that type of of engagement can be really powerful. But, you know, the other part of it is that engagement, really, you need to put some work and effort into it, and you have to have people dedicated to coming up with great content, to finding new content, to being able to share that and make sure that that's happening. And I think that's going to be a bigger role, especially in recruiting organizations, you know, in the next year or so, is having people that can actually create that good content so that when you're, you know, engaging with folks that aren't ready necessarily to apply today, you can keep that engagement going and provide really good, valuable content to them so that the next time that they think about, you know, moving jobs, you're top of mind, and you know, you'll be one of the first companies that they reach out to.
Chris, let me do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Brian with Drive-Thru HR. We're here at the HR Tech Conference 2013, Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas, Nevada, and it is a rocking place at the moment. So, Chris, million-dollar question. Are solutions too complicated to really be adopted and used by the majority, you know, the bulk of organizations?
You know, I don't think it's necessarily complicated. So, again, you know, there's a lot of robust tool sets, and I would say, you know, obviously, you know, we have one as well. You know, I think the big thing, especially for vendors, you know, as they're talking to customers, it's about, you know, simplifying the message, you know, early on. But then as you get deeper in discussions and as you bring people on, implementation and really getting to the core of what the business goals of the customer is and what their strategy can be, and being able to, you know, consistently give them feedback on different things that, you know, could be very useful to that strategy, and understanding that, I think that's going to be a huge piece because, you know, you don't want, you know, the biggest thing you can do to make sure that you don't have a good relationship with a customer is bringing them on, saying, oh, okay, enjoy the technology, see you later. But, you know, in order to get user adoption, you really need to kind of figure out that strategy, help them plan that, help them figure out how that's going, and then, you know, be able to provide the feedback and the support necessary for them to be successful in it. Because, you know, technology in and of itself is not going to be a competitive advantage. It's that strategy that the technology allows you to do that is really going to make the difference between you being able to make great hires and not being able to.
So what's, I mean, when you hear the term feedback loop, what is that, you know, where do you think that adds potential value or makes a difference for organizations, how they interact with technology solutions?
Yeah, so I think, you know, with the feedback loop, the biggest thing is setting expectations for you know, how you approach that. So, you know, I mean, I think one of the big things, you know, for us, to give you an example, is, you know, especially early on when we do it, we set up a pretty robust implementation plan of not only, you know, first starting with, okay, what are your goals with this initiative and putting that the technology in place? What is your strategy doing today? What do you do today that you need help with? And then what do you need to do tomorrow to be successful? And so we really work through all of that before we really start implementing the solution to the point that, you know, then we kind of give off the reins to them while also, you know, being there for any questions. And then after that, it's all like setting expectations on, okay, so we have ideas on product because, you know, there's some, you know, really good ideas that come through our customers and on how we can do that is how do we, get those solutions and how do we take that feedback? And then what is the turnaround time for things that come up that are really beneficial to all our users on our SaaS platform? So, you know, I think the big thing is just setting expectations on what that feedback loop is and then consistently going back to, customers and, you know, making sure that they understand it, that they're active, that, you know, the user adoption is happening correctly and, you know, that, you know, they're using the product and it's getting value.
Nice. So one of the things that, you know, kind of the, probably the next really important, the last, we've got about 5 minutes left, is what are some things that you can kind of bullet point out for our listeners as they start evaluating and looking at technologies, you know, in the life cycle, maybe recruiting, kind of wherever you want to go with that, that they can just be aware of and start asking those critical questions?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's a few things. You know, I think first and foremost, I think you really just need to understand from a vendor's perspective of, you know, what is their vision? So I think a good question to always ask is talking about, you know, what have you done in the last, you know, year in terms of the product? And then what is your product roadmap looking like? If you can ask that question and they can answer that in a way that is insightful, I think that gives you a really good understanding of the organization and, you know, how that product, once you have it in place, how is it going to evolve with the changing marketplace and the changing styles of, you know, how everything, you know, works. You know, I think the second part is, you know, really going and making sure that you're asking critical questions to some of their customers. You know, obviously, you know, the big thing is all customers that they're going to reference are going to, you know, hopefully they'll say good things about the product. But so what you can ask is when you ask for references, I think, you know, a good thing to do is ask for people that are currently in implementation. Ask for people that have been customers for, you know, over 2 years, and then ask for you know, kind of a more recent customer that, you know, is past the implementation stage but has been using for probably about a year or less. So that will give you a good expectation of, you know, people that are at different stages of, you know, working with that customer in that respect. The one last thing that I think is really interesting is, you know, really understanding the architecture of the product and understanding the leadership of that product. So, you know, where has the CEO and the people that had designed that technology, where have they been before? You know, have you worked with them and what have you heard about those types of products? You know, and the one other thing is just make sure that, you know, as you're talking about all these products, that, you know, where did they make from? Were they acquired? Were they purchased? You know, were they built organically? You know, how have they put their solutions together? Because that will actually give you some ideas in terms of integration and what they can do and if they can integrate with other systems.
Perfect. Well, we've got just a couple minutes left. So one last question, and then definitely let us know where we can, again, where we can connect up with you, get to the site, especially folks that are here to contact you. So you went to a few sessions today. What's one, if any, aha moments you had hearing the content being presented?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, one of the really good sessions, you know, with HireVue, you know, it's really about bringing the candidates kind of to the forefront and getting more data on the candidates and more experience with the candidates to be able to make better hires. And so, you know, the more you can do that and the more you can measure it to make sure that those are happening, I think that is a big aha for me, is we really need to, you know, get the engagement back into recruiting as opposed to making it a transactional process. You know, other than that, you know, I think, you know, overall the sessions have been good. And, you know, one of the big underlying themes is that, you know, people are looking for, you know, better solutions and to do more in terms of recruitment marketing, which I think has definitely been a push as you kind of walk the expo floor.
Well, perfect. So wrap it up. Tell folks where they can connect with you, and especially while you're here at the conference. And we're a wrap, my friend. Great job.
Yeah, so you can, you know, reach me at C, Bradlick, B-R-A-B-L-C, at smashfly.com. Feel free to send me an email on anything, on topics. You can also reach us at www.smashfly.com. One thing you'll note is we're going through a rebrand. So, our site, which will be live in the coming months, should kind of have a little bit more refined messaging, as well as kind of some new graphics, which we're really excited about. Read me. I blog probably 2 times a week on blog.smashfly.com. It's all around recruitment marketing and different things you can do from a technology standpoint and a number of other different topics. And then lastly, reach me on Twitter at Smashfly. I'm on there pretty readily, and I'd love to meet people in real life that I connect with there.